and welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your hosts, us. It's Ariel and
Raylene. What up?
What up, Raylene?
What up?
Okay, I have a little update.
Oh, okay.
So, as I've talked about before on the podcast, but I think I talk about it more on the Patreon live shows, but like I have definitely mentioned on the podcast.
Okay.
My favorite tea of all time is the Malty Biscuit Brew from Yorkshire Tea.
Yes.
It says on the tin, this isn't a tin, it's a cardboard box, but it says on the tin, tastes like tea and biscuits.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
I don't remember. Oh, yes, I do remember. I was at Kaylee Hyde's house, the wonderful, beautiful Kaylee Hyde, and she had this tea, and she's like, you're going to love it. I had it. Changed my world.
Changed yeah, you're my obsessed world, with changed that my tea. Life. You even sent I'm me some of that with tea.
I've sent you some of this tea. I'm like, I've converted other friends onto this tea, and I know what you're thinking. Why would you want your tea to taste like you've dunked biscuits in it? Maybe you don't want that. But I do. Like, it's such a comforting, warm, vanilla-y, rounded, shortbread-y, buttery.
And without the crumbs.
Without the crumbs, without the mess. It's delightful. So I love this tea. Okay. I had seen that they make more of these kinds of flavored teas. And somebody was, and I think it was in our Discord, was like, Ariel, you have to try the other ones. And I was like, you know what? I've been meaning to. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
So I purchased the other two in the collection. I've got myself all tangled up here. I have the three. This is obviously not sponsored, you guys. I wish it was. By Yorkshire Tea. Yeah, we'd accept that sponsorship. We'd work with Yorkshire Tea. Yeah, these are the three in this kind of range. So, me and my mom have the last few nights tried bedtime brew.
Yum. Okay.
We've been on a whole tea journey, let me tell you, because a while ago, she was telling me about valerian root. Have you heard of that?
I've heard of it. I don't really know what it does or what it is.
So it's a root, I guess. It's like a...
It sounds magic. That's all. I'll
yeah, say. It sounds it's very witchy. But she was telling me that like in Honduras they have valerian root to help them sleep, okay. And she wants to know if we could find it in a tea. And we did. We found the Sleepy Time herbal tea that's got valerian root in it.
Okay.
And I had some, and it's disgusting. Like it tastes like 100% like peas. You know, like green peas. It smells like peas. It tastes like peas.
Ew.
I was like, it's not worth it. And it did help me sleep, but maybe that was placebo, but I was like, this is not worth it. So then I just bought myself the Sleepy Time tea, yeah. Which is like chamomile and other like herbs and stuff. And I've really been enjoying that tea at night, which is wild to me because I did not used to be an herbal tea person. Mm. Now I'm looking at this bedtime tea and I'm like, okay, this is exciting. I don't feel like this is a bedtime tea.
Ooh.
Because it's in the way that it's not really calming, because yes, so all it is black tea but decaf.
I was gonna say it looks like black tea based on the little picture. That's
it's
not what you want.
Black tea. It says here's a nice relaxing cup of Yorkshire tea decaf that you can happily drink before bed, and because it's for bedtime, we've put some lovely herbs and spices in it to make it extra cozy. It's like a great big warm hug from your favorite bear. Assuming you have a favorite bear. Love the marketing on this. Quite frankly, this really appeals to me in a lot of different ways. But the ingredients are lemon balm and lemongrass, okay. Nutmeg, and vanilla flavoring, and black tea. So I'm like, it doesn't feel... And when I drank it, I will say it's good. It kind of just tastes like a little bit like chai because of the nutmeg flavoring,
yeah.
Where you're like, it's kind of a little spicy. And it didn't feel like... calming to me. It just felt like black tea.
Just because you can drink something before bed doesn't mean you should.
Whoa.
That's what I have to say about that.
So I like it. And if you like just love black tea,
yeah,
and you just want to have that before bed in a decaf version, then I sure I would recommend it, but it's not my fave. Next, the toast and jam.
The tea review.
This is the one that I was like really curious about, and it is in fact the one I have brewed for us
so
today.
She likes it
well
or not.
I would actually go so far as to say I don't like it.
Oh, no.
But I've only had it one time. So I thought I would, and it was like a week ago now. So I was like, I'm just going to bring it onto the pod and do another live reaction.
Please.
So I'm going to awkwardly drink. Okay. I want to start with the smell. It smells amazing. Definitely fruity, but definitely with a breadish, warmish bakery undertone.
Okay.
Okay. I feel the same way I did a couple nights ago. It's good. It's good tea.
Okay.
If you like black tea, because this is black tea, if you like black tea with a little milk, but also with a fruity edge, I think you'll love this.
I don't think I like that.
Yeah, it's kind of a specific vibe. Honestly, I can see myself craving this, and so I'm glad I have it. But here's my massive complaint. Here's the complaint I have with this tea that I had a week ago. The magic of this tea, the yellow one, the biscuit tea, is that it truly tastes like biscuit. It truly tastes like I wouldn't be surprised if the way that they make this is that in the factory they just drop vats of biscuits into the tea and then strain it. Like, I wouldn't be surprised, right? Because that's how much it tastes like that.
Okay.
This does not taste like toast, and it does not taste like jam. It tastes like black tea with a bit of strawberry. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I feel like this was magic because they were able to bottle something. They were able to truly capture an essence. But this one, I'm like, if it actually tasted like toast and jam, then I'd be like impressed, because I'd be like, wow, you did what you did here. You bottled an essence. This doesn't taste like toast and jam. It tastes like a fruity black tea.
Damn.
Those are my reviews.
Controversial opinions out here.
Of the Yorkshire tea line. We had a lot of people talking about this in the Discord, and some people were like really anti the toast and jam tea. Like, I saw a lot of people who hated it, and I don't hate it. I played that up. It's good, but it just doesn't taste like toast and jam.
Totally.
So I set my expectations so high because this truly tastes like biscuits and tea that I wanted the other one to truly taste like toast and jam.
Yeah.
But it's still nice. Thank you, everyone, for my review moment. I really wanted to do that. I also wanted to say, because I live in Canada, these are not in Canadian grocery stores, they're British. I ordered from this shop called Blighties.
Oh my God.
And the box was fully emblazoned with the Union Jack. On the back, it says, Dear Ariel, thank you for placing a first order with Blighties. We really appreciate it. Enjoy your tea, Melissa. So it was like hand packed.
Wow.
From a shop in England. Like I'm now a huge Blighties fan.
That's amazing. Well, at my local grocery store, there's like a British section. So I'll have to go check and see if they have that specific
Maybe
tea
they
there.
Because
they might.
Yeah, I have to order it online because I haven't been able to find it in any shops. I've been to shops that have like a little British section, but they haven't had the biscuit tea.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, there you go, everyone. Those are my reviews. What else is going on? Probably some other stuff.
But tea is most important.
Most importantly is tea. So, Raylene, how about you give us an update on your life?
Yeah, I have had a couple of things that I've just like started doing this past week that I don't want to be crazy here, but I want to say they've changed my life.
So, okay, I got a hint to this last night. And you were like, let's just say, I think that was your exact text. I think your text was, let's just say I've started a new hobby that's taken over my life.
Yeah.
It was something like that.
Yeah. It's my thing. But before I get to that, I have a couple of other just like things that have been happening / that I want to share. Firstly, last week I forgot to mention that I reorganized my bookshelves. I spent like 4 hours completely reorganizing my bookshelves. I have reincorporated my unread and read books together, and they are now organized by genre.
Raylene, I have to interrupt you.
Why?
Because that's the funniest thing I've ever heard. Because last night I reorganized my books and separated the read from the unread.
We are such opposites this year, and I can't stop thinking about it.
We are on different tracks. That's so funny. Okay, tell me about your motivations, because I was going to talk about this. Today we're doing our quarterly update. And I was going to talk about this as a strategy to try and help me reach my goal.
Interesting. So
kind of makes sense. Why did you do that?
It does make sense. Okay, well, I did it mostly because I have just got tired of looking at my shelves the way they were. So I was like, I want to just do something crazy and like completely reorganize everything. But then I was like, but does that mean I'm still keeping my unread books separated? Like, is that part of the equation? And I was like,
right.
What? And I actually went to Discord. I was like, guys, what do you think I should do? And I got some mixed responses. So I was kind of like, I'm just going to follow my gut. And I actually asked Kyle, I was like, what do you think I should do? And he was like, mix them together. And I was like, okay, I'll do that. So I have this tiny little shelf that's separate from my bookshelves that just had some like manga and stuff on it. But I took the manga off and put my 24 and 24 TBR on there. So I have those in a separate little area. So that's my only like TBR shelf. But all the rest of my unread books have just been scrambled up. So I mostly just... it was time for a vibe change. And I feel often now when I go looking for a book, I just like will stare at my unread books and just be kind of lost. So now what I've done is I have them within genres. So I'm like, if I feel like reading a memoir, I know exactly where to go to find a memoir. Yep. And I feel like that is more the type of mood I've been in terms of finding new books to read recently. So I just feel like that works better.
Before this, were all of your books mixed together? Like, genre didn't mean anything.
It was,
like,
okay.
Stephen King was next to memoir, as long as they were unread?
Yeah, so how I had it before, it was unread. I actually recently, like, a couple months ago, reorganized them alphabetically. So they were, like, A to Z alphabetical. Yeah, but before that, they were, I don't even remember what they were, but they were more random than that. I switched things up a lot. But yeah, they were just alphabetical. So my Stephen Kings were all together, but like everything was kind of scrambled. And then the rest of my books were in a rainbow. All of my red books were in a rainbow. So they weren't really organized other than being color. So it felt good to scramble that up too. Yeah.
That makes sense, because when I see your shelves, like it was a giant rainbow as opposed to my shelf, which was a bunch of little rainbows.
Yeah.
Because I've been organizing my shelves by genre for like at least the last decade because otherwise I do feel kind of confused. But yesterday I actually filmed a Patreon video.
Oh, nice.
So if you want to see a whole video of me reorganizing my shelves, yesterday I was like, you know what? I really want to separate my read books from my unread books within the genre.
Yeah.
So they're still in the genre, but like all of my unread short story collections, and then there's my read short story collection.
Cool.
All my unread poetry, and then my read poetry, et cetera, et cetera.
I think that's useful, definitely.
Yeah, I really wanted to separate it that way because, first of all, I still like having them separated by genre because it just makes sense in my head of having that system for so long. That I was like, I can just look at it and see like, oh yeah, if I want a poetry book, that's where I go.
Yeah.
But the main reason I did it was to remove any block, any resistance between me and impulsively reading a book.
Yeah.
Because right now, like, I sit here a lot of the time and I stare at my shelves and I'm like, what would I want to read next? What could I read? When they're all mixed together, I wasn't seeing a clear picture of, like, what I could read.
Totally.
Now I know that shelf fully is unread. I could read any book on that shelf. And it's like, I'm finding it really motivating.
Totally.
I literally just did this yesterday.
Yeah, I feel like it's good to do it both ways. Like, depending where your head's at, just making a switch in general is often enough to like reinvigorate you. So yeah, I did that last week and I've been really enjoying that. I haven't like gotten to my shelf to pick a new book yet because I just finished the book I was reading last night, which we'll get to later. But I'm now excited to be like, okay, what do I want? What genre do I want? And it's fun because within the genres, they're just organized by vibe. Like, they're literally a system that just makes sense to me, which is one of my favorite ways to organize. Like, I'm like, I don't want alphabetical. I don't want a rainbow. I just want it to make sense to me. And so
it's vibe.
Exactly.
It's
so I've got vibey shelves and I love it. So that was the first thing, but that isn't
That
isn't what has changed my game. And actually, I have one more thing I wanted to mention. I have had to keep this a little secret because it's a birthday present for a friend.
Yes.
But I spent the past couple of months, I mean, I finished it a little while ago, but I made a cross stitch for my friend's birthday. By the time this comes out, her birthday party will have happened. So I feel like I can show it off now. I filmed some B-roll, so that'll be going on the video now. But it's basically a Wheel of the Year cross stitch. So the Sabbats that I've been talking about, there are all these, there's 8 throughout the year, and each one, you know, celebrates a different changing of the season, whatever, that kind of thing. And so this cross stitch is like a visual representation of that. And it's very like witchy looking and very cool. And I'm excited to see it hung in my friend's house. But I actually like hot glued twigs to the outside of it, like the hoop that I framed it in.
So pretty.
So it looks really so like rustic and very, very witchy. And I think it's just very cool. And so I wanted to show it off because I did work really hard on it and it was a big secret. So I did that and then immediately dove into that daisy sweater I crocheted. And so now I'm like, just give me peace. It's funny, actually, the birthday party is still coming up as of right now. It's this Friday. It's currently Saturday. So I have a little bit of time, but I have to do a bunch of crafts still. I still have emergency crafting. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. It's a Twin Peaks themed birthday party, and I've painted the Welcome to Twin Peaks sign already, but I still have to paint a One-Eyed Jack sign. I still have to paint a bunch of little cards because we're doing a puzzle. It's a whole thing, but it's going to be really fun. So that's where I'm at mentally, and that's why I haven't been reading a lot, because I've been doing a lot of emergency crafting. But now, on to the new hobby and how it has changed my life.
I'm curious about this. Wow.
So a few weeks ago, my mom gave me something that I have been like meaning to use, meaning to get to, but hadn't really done. But last week, Kyle and I started this. We started a new thing, and that is making sourdough bread.
Oh! That's awesome.
Isn't this good? I knew this would be a good for the Books Unbound narrative, because many years ago you got into sourdough bread because of the book Sourdough by Robin Sloan. I've always wanted to try it, but here's another thing that you should know about me is I'm a terrible baker. I am not a person who bakes. Every time I try, I mess it up somehow. So I just don't bake. But I realized recently, I was like, maybe I could make bread. Like maybe if I got a bread machine, like it does all of the, it does most of the work for you. So maybe I could just do that. I haven't gone that route yet. Yeah. Luckily, my mom just like happened to get some sourdough starter from a friend, and then she gave me some of it. And so now I have this baby sourdough starter. And so last week, Kyle and I made our first loaf, and it was beautiful. It was so good. We gobbled that thing up. And then within less than a week, we were like, I want to make another one. Let's make another one. And so we actually made two last night.
That's so sick.
We're going to give one away. Sick. We've been eating the other one. We made a broccoli cheddar soup to go with it. And it was so good. But the why I say it feel like it's changed my life is, I don't know, I feel like it has like invigorated me in some way, where like I have to get up at a certain time to like, you know, do the next step of the sourdough, because I'm sure there's lots of different ways to do it, but the recipe we've been following is basically a 24-hour window start to finish of like getting it started, doing all the stretching and folding, letting it sit for 12 hours and then shaping it and then letting it sit for another, you know, it's a really long process.
Gotta do it right.
And I feel like it's teaching me patience, and it's like teaching me to like, you know, it's something to look forward to. So it's worth the effort.
Yeah.
And it tastes so good that it's like really, really worth the effort.
That's so beautiful. Where did she get this starter?
She got it from her friend. Her friend.
You see,
she went and visited.
Isn't this so cool?
I know. It's just been passed along. And I don't know. It was funny. Kyle was like, I want to know where that starter started. And I was like, we're never going to know. We're never going to know the answer to that.
That's so, like, do you remember how I started my starter?
Yeah, you got it from a local, like, bakery or whatever.
Yeah, I went to a cafe and or whatever, and I was like, hello, I brought a jar. Could I have some? And they're like, yeah, that's fine.
I love that.
Oh, I would love to see. What if your starter goes back, like, 8 people?
It could. That's the thing. We don't know. But, I mean, it's been really turning out some nice bread. I actually took a photo that we'll throw into the video as well here. It's just a beautiful, beautiful loaf. It was funny. Like I said, we made two last night. We immediately cut into the first one while the other one was baking. So I couldn't take a photo of both because we were like desperate to eat. But it's been so fun. And doing that did the next thing that has also kind of been a game changer in my life. Because there was one day where I had to wake up at 5 a.m. to shape the dough because I just... I just didn't realize what
morning person.
I didn't know what was happening. I am becoming a morning person. I'm not waking up at 5. That was an accident.
You're doing it.
But I have started waking up at 6 every day that I have to go to work. Usually I wake up at like 6:35, so it's not a huge jump, but it's enough to like make me feel really calm in the morning instead of feeling rushed.
Yeah, not rushed.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing yoga every single morning, which I
for
never thought
now?
I could do. For a week. It's just been a week now. But
still, I'm obsessed. That's epic.
Like, I wake up, I feel energized. I'm thinking about bread. I just feel good. I don't know. I just feel really good. I feel like it's transformed me a little bit. And I'm hoping to keep it up because I'm really loving it. Like, I feel like that half hour that I'm losing on sleep, which I'm not really losing because I'm going to bed earlier, but the half hour that I feel like I'm losing is well spent. It's not like a waste of time. So
it seems like it's completely worth it because it like, yeah, you need sleep, but you also need to start your day in a way that like sparks joy and doesn't feel stressful.
Yes.
So that seems like such a better... I'm honestly like, that's a little inspiring, Aileen, quite frankly.
Thanks.
Because I have a hard time in the morning. So I'm not going to lie to you. It was 11 a.m. this morning.
Yikes.
And Connor texted me. He's like, how's it going? I'm like, I can't get out of bed. It is Saturday, to be clear.
It's
Saturday. I wouldn't have done that on a weekday. But like, I was like, I can't get out of bed. And he like called me. And and thankfully, my mom needed help with something. So I was like, oh, great. Now I'm up. And it's like a fight as opposed to like a start where you're like happy to start the
day. Yeah, I don't know. It's funny. I've like started looking forward to doing yoga, whereas before it felt like a chore and it was like, oh, I have to go exercise. It's like, no, this is like a nice way to, you know, stretch, especially like after you just get out of bed. It feels really good to just like do something with your body. I also put coffee on right before I start doing my yoga so I can smell coffee while I'm getting started. I'm telling you, it's really nice. I think you should try it.
The vibes are good.
Exactly. I'm
there.
Trying to have just like a cozy little happy vibey life over here and it's working. So
I was gonna bring this up in the mail room, but I just want to do it now because I have a comment that it's so interestingly well fitted. This is from at KT1328. They said, so exciting to see that you're adding Mr. Penumbra's 24-hour bookstore back into your collection aerial. If you recall, I bought that book last week after owning it a long time ago and wanted to bring it back. Then they add, Robin, and they just say Robin, not Robin Sloan. Robin is my cousin.
Whoa.
And I love seeing people reading his work.
That's nice.
How cool is that?
I love that. Well, this is for your cousin. I made some bread because Ariel read that book. And then I read that book. It's a whole journey that we went through.
It's a whole journey. I will link to my original reading vlog of that video in the description of this episode because I actually unlisted that video a long time. I don't really remember why, but I did. But really, never, like, it hasn't really happened to me that I get messages from people who are like, can you unlist that video? I really want to watch it.
Oh, yeah.
But that video people ask me for. I don't know why. So anyway, maybe really want to, like, it was a bread moment.
Yeah.
We all had a bread moment in 2020. So I'll link to that below. But I love that, really.
Thank you so
much. That's awesome. Okay, we are here to do something we are pretty excited about, which is our quarterly update.
Yes.
So we started doing these last year because we based it on the feedback we got from, we do an end of the year survey every year where we're like, what would you like? And we had quite a few people who were like, would love like a check-in on the goals more regularly.
Yeah.
And we were like, yeah, what the hell? Why aren't we doing that?
We just didn't think of it. It was such a good idea that neither of us thought of.
We were like, what? Of course we should be doing that. So we started doing that last year and it worked really well. And I think it worked really well for two reasons. One, it's just a fun episode to like check in on the goals with you guys. And I think it's fun for you guys. But then secondly, it's really useful because we're like, oh yeah, what are our goals? How are they going? And this year we have such like different goals than the goals we've had in the past.
Very true.
So I think that's also really fun to get to check in on that. So I think first off, Raylene has a little comment she wants to read.
Yes. So this kind of helped me shape what this update was going to look like a little bit. So this is a comment we got from Elizabeth Green. I think this was over on our Patreon. And she says, so much can change in 3 months. Heck, y'all now have peach hair and Ariel got engaged. This was from a month ago, I think. In your quarterly check-in, can you mention what goals you want to change, add, or get rid of? I remember Raylene in the yearly goal episode mentioning how some of the 2023 goals no longer resonated with her by the end of 2023. I think a more flexible approach to reading goals could lead to a more satisfying year. Which I think is so smart. Elizabeth is so wise. So wise. It's really, really glad that you said that because it sparked something in me.
Yeah, go on. Okay, I'm curious. What's your take on this?
Oh, well, my take is like, I don't want to change any of my goals per se as of yet, okay. But my problem is what I did with my goals kind of this year was I created a really large TBR, and I don't think that's good. The 24 and 24. Well, not only that, I also wanted to read my four oldest TBR books. I want to read my four highest rated TBR books and my four yes. lowest rated TBR books. And so with all of that being said, that's like 32 books or something. And that's okay. like, if I want to read under 50 books, that basically doesn't leave me very much room. Like, there's no wiggle room for me to read a lot of books outside of that TBR. And so what I've decided is I'm going to, like, cool it on those sort of bonus TBRs. If they happen, oh. they happen. But I don't okay. care to keep reading them. Because I've actually, I think, read one from each category or tried to read at least one from each category. And okay. I think every single one has been a dud or has had a dud. Because remember, I DNF'd the thrift shop one. Can't remember what it's called now. The okay, Nakano yeah. thrift store. That was one yeah, of my yeah, lowest yeah. rated books. DNF'd that.
I agree that you should do this because if you're not having fun with it, then it's, of course, why would you force yourself to do it? But I am a little bummed because this was such a cool, like, reading the worst books on your shelf and reading the best books on
and
your
like
shelf.
And like I said, I still might. I think juicy. Just having yeah. a TBR set makes me not want to read those books. Yeah. Like, we've talked about this a lot.
Classic.
We're mood readers. Like, why did I do
so
this?
We're so bad at it.
I know.
We're
and
so bad at
my
it.
24 and 24 TBR, I'm still very excited about pretty much all of those books. There's maybe two that I'm a little like, oh, I shouldn't have put that on there. Anna Karenina, what was I thinking? But I'm still going to try with those because they are like the books I'm most excited to read on my shelves. So I just have to get past yeah. that, like that hiccup, that hump. But I would say, yeah, like those other side ones, like every time I go and read one of them, I'm like, I could have read something else. Like, I only read that because I felt totally. Like I needed to. And it's all because I told myself to. And I'm still glad I read them, like, to get them off my shelf or whatever. But all that being said, I just want to, like, kind of release a little bit of the TBR pressure. So I'm like, let's just cool it on those. Yep. We'll see what happens. But other than that, like, I'm still very much on board with my reading less than 50 books. I mean, that's almost certainly going to happen just at the pace I'm going. So I don't think that'll be a problem.
Okay.
But yeah, I guess we can maybe just like dive into the actual update, or how do you feel about changing goals and where you're at?
Yes. Okay. So I guess I would say I'm in a similar-ish place to you. Looking at my reading so far this year, I haven't been sticking very well to my TBR that I set at the beginning of the year, which I'm trying to remember the name of. I think it was Knowledgeable Potatoes?
Something smart like that. Potatoes? Oh, I forgot about, I already forgot you had that goal. That's funny.
I should go back and listen. I should have gone back to listen to remember the name.
Yeah, we call it Smart really Potatoes, though, if you want.
I think, yeah, something like Smart Potatoes. But basically, like, I had picked out 5 books from my shelves that are all nonfiction books where I'll, like, actually learn a concrete study of something. Because I was like, a lot of my reading is fictional and or memoirs, etc. And I love those books, which is why that's what, like, everything I read. But you learn a lot from those books, but not, like, explicit.
Yeah.
This is a book about learning and facts. So I was like wanting to go back to those. I haven't read a single one of them. So that's clearly not really working.
Yeah, like you just haven't prioritized it yet. Like, are you going to, or are you kind of wanting to let that
go? In my mind, I was good. For some reason, I was like, I will do that later. That's bad thinking.
That's
though.
Really bad.
So that's a note to Ariel. Why are you thinking that way?
Yeah, when's later?
But exactly. My other sort of TBR is like my most anticipated books of the year, I guess. Oh, okay. I would say, is like kind of a TBR that I had. And I've already read one of them, The Kamigawa Food Detectives.
Oh, yeah.
I'm actually about 25% of the way through The Riddles of the Sphinx.
Nice,
so
nice.
Going really well on that one. And then one or two other ones, but they're not out yet. Not out yet, so I literally can't read them. So I'm feeling good about that list.
That's good.
Because, yeah, I actually couldn't be more on top of that list, I think. I think I'm doing well on that.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm similar with you, where I'm like, the TBR stuff, is that just a dream we should let go of? Like, maybe next year we shouldn't make a
TBR agree.
Anymore.
We keep kind of doing it because we feel like we should, or we feel like we want to, but I don't think we actually want to deep down.
Or sometimes it's like, yes, you would want to, but the truth is you're just not that guy.
I know. Right? We're like, not that guy. We really aren't.
Maybe we're not that guy. So I still want to tackle that TBR, but I don't know if that's a goal that's serving long term.
Totally. And for me, actually, just for the record, I have either read or DNF'd 4 out of my 24 books from my main TBR.
Oh,
so I still have quite a ways to go, and I haven't made an effort to read one of them in a little while. I've kind of been focusing on the side quest books a little bit, like with Project Hail Mary. So, that's one of my top 4 highest rated books. So stuff like that. Like I've kind of dipped into the other ones, but I want to stop focusing on those a little bit and just come back to the what we're really here for, which is I really want to read the Wind Up Bird Chronicle this year. Like, why don't I just dive right in? Like, I need to kind of refocus. So I think that's where my head's at now.
Of the 24, you've DNF 4.
2.
Have you finished any?
No,
two? Oh, I see.
I've read 2 and
DNF 2. And read 2.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, but as for my goals, I'm still feeling really enthusiastic about all of them.
Good.
I'm still feeling super jazzed about them and, like, I think about them every day. You know what I mean? I'm just like, I got a disease. So yeah, so maybe let's shift into talking about our goals. How about you go first, Raylene? What were your goals and how are they going?
I mean, my goal, one of my other goals, other than just reading these specific books that I chose, that was the main one. And then my other big goal is to read less than 50 books, which, like I said, I'm definitely on track to do that at this point. I have some statistics that we'll get to as we go through here that are like proving I'll probably only read 40 books according to the data. That's what my data is telling me. It's funny. I just finished reading Project Hail Mary, and there's a lot of math in that, a lot of data. So I feel like maybe I was inspired by that. And I did some comparison numbers. There's lots of percentages.
Yeah.
But my other goal was to read an average of like the year 2004 or less. I want the average years of the books I read to be lower than that. And the problem with this so far is that I have DNF'd a couple of books that were helping me. So I had to take those out of the equation. But I'm still, I think I'm on track for that right now. Technically, my spreadsheet shows all the books I've read, but also what I'm currently reading, because I always pop them in as soon as I start reading them. And so The Island of Dr. Moreau, I haven't finished yet, but that baby is helping me out, because it was published in 1896. So my average right now is 1999. So I'm definitely on track.
Okay,
but as I read more books, if I keep reading books published in like 2024, which might happen, we'll see if that balances out. But I also still haven't finished that book. So I'll get there eventually. I'm definitely going to finish it because I'm recording an audiobook for the podcast, for the Patreon. So I'm definitely going to finish it. It's just been a slow ride because of all the emergency crafting. But I think those are my main goals. If there's one I'm forgetting, like, I don't think I'm going to do it because I forgot about it already.
Whoa, that's fascinating.
If there is one, I'm not looking into it. We'll just see what happens at the end of the year. I'll be like, whoa, I forgot about that goal.
That's funny. So I think one of the reasons that I've felt really, like, intense about my goals this year is because maybe two things. One is that my word of the year is industrious. I want to feel like I'm actually doing the sorts of things that I want to be doing with my life. Mm-hmm. Like, I care about these things. I have projects, I have dreams, and I can't just sit there and not doing anything or else nothing will happen.
Exactly.
So I'm like, I want to do these types of things. So my word of the year was industrious, like get stuff done, push, push, push. And I'm really enjoying that this year.
Good.
Like, I'm trying my best to get a lot of stuff done. So that's kind of driving my drive for these books, but there are challenges. But then the second thing is I put these challenges on my, like, list of my overall year resolutions.
Yeah.
Like, other resolutions of mine this year include not cutting my bangs. So far, you can all see these are pretty long. So feeling good about that. And like, another goal is to quit Instagram, which I've done and I haven't gone back on there. So like, that's going well. Mm-hmm. But then I also put my reading goals.
Oh, nice.
And I haven't done this before. I don't know why. Like, I always had them as separate lists. Like, my reading goals were on my spreadsheet with my reading, but my life goals were on my other note with my life and business goals. So I'm like, why?
It's all my goals, though. It's all your life.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm just one person.
Yeah.
So I put them all together, and that's been helping me see them pretty regularly, I think. So my goals are, number one, to build a book truck. So far, it's happening.
It's happening.
It's certainly happening. It has not happened. I will basically check this goal off when I go to my first market, because that to me is fulfilling the dream.
Which, as a reminder, when is that? June?
End of June.
Yes. Okay.
So there's 3 months basically before that's supposed to be happening. wow, there's a lot that has to happen between now and then. The last month just got really taken up, like February, I mean, got really taken up with some life event stuff. And so I just really didn't accomplish much outside of that personal stuff that happened. And so I'm like, that's okay, though. Throughout March, I started to catch up, and I'm feeling like I'm back in the swing of things again. And so I'm like, okay, got to get moving, because there's 3 months, and I should, in 3 months, I should be stood in front of the truck.
That's true. And it needs to have books on it, too. Books. It's not just the truck.
God, I know.
I really want you to get everything ready so that I can help you with the book buying aspect. I really am excited for that.
Oh, yeah. True, actually. You should have a shelf on the books room my best friend recommends. Let's do that!
Definitely. I'm going to... It's on a recording. Everybody heard you say it. You can't go back on it now.
I can't go back. No, that's done. We're doing that. One of the things... I think I've talked about this on the pod, but one of the things I really want to do for the mini truck is just really lean into curated book selection on the truck. Because it's so little.
Exactly.
It's so little that I can't pretend to be a general bookstore. Like, it ain't going to happen. No. And so I want to have a lot of funny little shelves. So, like... friend, like books my best friend recommends. It's such a great shelf. That's totally awesome. If I went to a bookshop and I saw like books that the book owner's best friend
like so far removed, like you don't even know who that person is.
It's like the sourdough starter. Where did this begin?
So true.
Like, that's awesome. Okay, so book truck, it's also this goal is interesting because it's a little bit difficult to quantify. It's kind of not like a percentage goal. Right. I can't really be like, I'm 20% of the way there. It's it happened or it didn't happen.
Yeah.
And so far it seems like it's going to happen. Next goal, finish visiting every bookshop in Nova Scotia. I haven't visited many this year so far. I think I've only visited one new shop this year. But that does bring my total to 20, which is cool, of the 40. I believe there's 40. God. The reason that I do feel like this goal is going to happen is because I'm committed, but also because I've spent, at this point, dozens of hours on that website. like I'm literally calling bookshops, and I'm like, do you sell used books? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, thank you. Like, do you have a website? And they're like, no. I'm like, I know. I'm like, God damn it. Get a website, a Facebook, anything. Anyways, so I have put a lot of effort into this page and I really am like excited to accomplish it. But like last year, it's not really a winter goal. It's not fun to go on little road trips in the winter.
Yeah, and you still got lots of time. Myself. And you did such a good job last year of going to a lot that I think you've like done a lot of the heavy lifting already and you just have to kind of keep the momentum going.
Yeah, and I already have some plans for some towns and stuff that we can, like, create a fun little trip where me and my boyfriend go to this town.
Yeah.
I guess fiance. We're still engaged. And then read 3 biographies. Haven't read a single one. That's worrying. And then my final goal is to read 100 books. And so I think this is a perfect transition, Raylene, into statistics.
Hell yeah.
Because that is such a number goal. So how about we shift over to you, because I've been talking for a while here.
Yes.
Let's talk about your statistics and numbers you wanted to pull.
Yes. Because
you also have the like read less than 50, which is a very number-y goal.
It's true. Okay. So I have quite a lot of data. So I started out with looking at how many books I bought by this time last year versus now for this year. Because I thought when we talked about this, this is gonna be interesting. So far this year, I have acquired, I would say acquired, not bought, because some of them were gifts or sent to me, but I have acquired 22 books. And I calculated the percentages of different things too. So 13% of those were new books, which actually amounts to 3 books. And one of them was a book you sent me, The Private Eye, the comic. So that one, I've only bought 2 new books by myself. 35% of the books are used. 31% were thrifted. So overall, that's 66% that are used or thrifted. And then 18% are books that were either ARCs or just like new books that were sent to me by publishers. So I have that separated out as well, because those aren't books that I bought for myself. So overall, I'm feeling really good about that. I've only purchased 2 brand new books this year so far. Comparing this to this time last year, this is where it gets a little shocking. Last year, by this time, I had only acquired 6 books. Just let that sink in for a second. Why have I gotten so many this year? I think last year I was actually trying to not buy books.
Okay, you know what? This is really interesting.
Isn't that shocking?
Over the last few episodes, we've talked about how few books we've purchased.
Yeah.
You know, we've been like, we've been buying so many less books than we actually have. But it felt that way to our delusional little minds.
Delusional.
But the numbers don't lie.
Yeah, I know. I was really shocked when I've been entering them into my spreadsheet. So I could see that my spreadsheet was getting a little long. I was like, oh, this is interesting. La, la, la. Like, didn't really think about it too much. But I think the thing with that, the reason I haven't really cared too much is because I haven't gone out necessarily like looking for specific books. I've just gotten lucky when I'm thrifting, and I've gotten lucky with my local used bookstore finding books that I've been looking for a year and a half or whatever. So I don't feel bad about any of it because I haven't gone to a new bookstore and spent $100 or whatever, which I usually would have done. I haven't been going out seeking books that I saw on Instagram, which I would have done last year. And I mean, last year, we know I bought a lot of books. It was just in that first quarter, I really had self-control. But
because it was one of your goals last year ditched, which was like to I forget exactly what
I wanted
the goal
to read
was,
like more than 50% of the new books I purchased.
Yeah.
So I was really focusing on like, if I'm buying something, I have to be willing to read it like soon.
Right.
So I had some kind of rule kind of stopping me and making me think. Whereas right now I'm like, if it's a $1 book and I want it, like, I'm going to buy it. It's funny. We have literally become two different people. Like, you and I have swapped. I have become the person who's just like, I'll just buy a few books. And then I just, like, I took an entire month to read Project Hail Mary, which I will review later in the episode. But it took me a month to read that.
That's fascinating.
That's not who I usually am. But I've acquired, like, 10 books this month. So my TBR is not doing what I want it to do. But that's okay.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because while you, like, are reading less, which is your goal, I don't feel like your goal is to buy a lot more books.
No, it's definitely not. It's
usual.
Just naturally happening. And it might go in waves. It might go in waves depending on things. But I've just like had some good luck with finding good finds. So anyway, that's my hauling data. But as far as what I've read...
Well, how about I do my hauling data?
Sure, yeah, let's
do that. They're kind of linked together a bit. This year so far, I have acquired 23 new books.
Okay.
By this point... last year, I had acquired 34.
Ooh.
So I've done like a third less.
Okay. That's interesting.
Than last year. So I am buying less books than last year, which is interesting. But the other interesting thing is that I've only purchased 69% of those books.
Oh, okay.
21% or almost 22% of them are gifts from Raylene.
Oh.
And 8.8% of them are gifts from Connor. And that's it.
That's
Those
hilarious.
Are the three ways I've gotten books. I bought them, you gave them to me, Connor gave them to me. Isn't that funny?
That is funny. I like that a lot.
I like that too. Whereas last year, some of those were definitely gifted, but not, I don't think as many have been gifted. Mm. I feel like you've been so generous this year and sent me quite a few books this
year.
You sent me 5 books so far this year.
That's crazy.
Oh, wait. One of them is wrong. This one I bought. No. You've sent me 4 books this year. Fried Green Tomatoes, At the Altar, They're There, and then Unclean Jobs for Women and Girls.
Very true.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's fun. Okay, then the other one, similar to your chart, is what percent is new or used? So of the books here, 30% I didn't buy, basically.
Right.
So I won't count those. But then... 48% are brand new. 22% are used.
Okay, that tracks. That makes sense.
That
for you.
Does track.
Yeah.
That does track. But I am surprised that I've bought a lot less books than usual.
Mm-hmm. You're doing
Unfortunately,
good.
I stopped tracking this data on April 24th last year.
Oof.
So I don't know how many books I bought last year.
I don't think we want to know.
So I don't know. Maybe I don't want to know. Actually, yeah, you're right. But so I don't know how to compare it to last. Like at the end of this year, I don't know how I'm going to be able to compare it to last year. But I'm sure I can figure that out.
You could definitely bulk it up. Like we were talking about before we started recording, we do keep track of every single book we've ever bought in terms of photos that we put on our Instagram and lists
on
our website.
So I can scroll.
It would be time consuming, but it might be worth it.
It might be worth it just to see the comparison over the years, which is very fascinating.
Very good.
All right. Well, we should talk about the books we've read this year. All right. How about you start us off, Raylene? What do you got?
Okay. Yes. So I didn't track DNFs last year, but so far this year I have DNF'd 3 books from my TBR. So I wanted to keep track of that, and I'll definitely be tracking that moving forward. And in terms of reading, I have so far read, and I've sort of separated out based on like TBR books and just like books that I maybe acquired or read from the library or whatever. And so far this year, I have read 8 books from my TBR. And one of them was a book that I bought this year, which was I Who Have Never Known Men. So that's the only book that's like a new book that I got and then read. So
gotcha.
7 of those books were on my TBR already, and I read them. I have read a total of 10 books now, I think. I read a couple of books that weren't TBR, so I think I'm at 10. Okay. But what's interesting about this is last year at this time, I had read 17 books from my TBR. And so
Brandon,
I'm at
guess how many books I've read this year?
17.
17!
That's crazy. Okay, you are me and I am you. So yeah, I've only read, eight of the, and that's just from my TBR. I think I read more than that, but I also tracked the pages, the amount of pages. So year, I have read 2,482 pages worth of TBR books. Last year at this time, I had read 4,608, which is almost double.
Literally double.
But the total I have read this year is 2,999 pages. Crazy how that worked out. And last year was 6,674. So I've read less than half the amount of pages. And I thought that was interesting because last year in January, I read 1122.63, which is like 850 pages. So I was like, let's look at the page count. So I am at less than half of the amount of pages that I had read at this time this year, which I do think is interesting. I do think that's very
interesting.
But it also makes sense. And so I did a calculation based on the pages that I read last year and where I'm at right now. I basically will probably read 40 books this year. That's what I was talking about earlier. Like the trajectory I'm on looks like I'll probably read 40 books, but that depends on page count of books, blah, blah, blah. So, but that really puts things into perspective. I'm like, okay, if I'm only going to read 40 books, that means I've got 30 more to go. So I really need to stay on track with my TBR I've chosen for myself. Otherwise, something is going to go wrong. Either I won't finish the TBR or I'll read more than 50 books. So we'll see. Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. The only other thing I really have here is that so far this year, I've read one new favorite, and that was Lesser Known Monsters of the 21st Century. At this time last year, I had read two new favorites, which were Norwegian Wood and 1122.63. So I had a little bit more luck right out of the gate last year than I have this year so far. I've only read that one that I would consider a new favorite, and the rest have been like, like most of them have been, I've had a couple here that I would say were solidly like, I liked them, but the rest were kind of like mid, you know, and that's kind of unfortunate. I feel like I haven't had like a strong start to the year, which I definitely had last year. So that could be part of why I feel like I'm reading slowly and not reading very much. I don't feel motivated right now. I just feel motivated to do yoga and make bread, which is cool too. That's also part of my goal, I guess.
That's all so fascinating.
Yeah.
Like I said, I've read 17 books this year. Very similarly to you, I've only read two books in that I would consider new favorites.
Okay.
Which are Brooklyn. I really enjoyed Brooklyn. I had a really fun time reading it. I gave it 4 out of 5 stars. So it's not like a perfect book. But I still really had a great time reading it and I really enjoyed it. And then the second one is The True Deceiver by Tove Jansson, which we talked about last week. I loved that book and I keep thinking about it. It was phenomenal. So that is a second favorite, but I've read 17 books so far this year. Last year at this point, I had read 7.
Whoa.
And I had also two new favorite books last year, which were Talk to My Back, Wedding Toast I'll Never Give, and I would put a close third at Outlawed by Anna North.
Oh, yeah.
So even though I've read like almost double or 10 more books than last year, I have the same amount of good luck reading favorite new books.
Yeah.
So I'm also feeling similarly, whereas I don't feel like I'm reading a lot of books that I'm loving.
Right.
Which is a bit of a bummer. Here's some fascinating statistics I've got. I mean, first of all, the fact that this year I've read 17 and last year I read 7.
Yeah, that's
8,
huge.
Or whatever. Like, that's insane. Secondly, last year I read, I can't tell if it's one or if it's 3 books in March. There's 2 books that I read between February 20th and March 27th. And I didn't write down the date that I read them for some reason. So it was probably in March. So let's say I read 3 books in March last year. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. This year I've read, and I'm going to finish a book today. So 9 books.
Oh, that's cool. I've read 1 this year in March.
Yeah, that's so fascinating. March really changed.
March is really crazy for me this year. It's wild.
Yeah. Whereas, you know, in January I read 4 or 5. In February I read 4. So, like, it's been 4 and then 4 and then this month almost 10. That's wild. That's such a big leap. And like I said, like, January felt like a really busy start to the year because I bought the miniature truck. I got engaged. Like, there was, like, so much going on. And then February, I had a lot of personal life stuff going on. So I still managed to read 4 books, a book a week. But then in March, I really caught up.
Yeah, that's good.
But I would like to touch on, my goal is to read 100 books. Yeah. And so I should be at 25 books right now.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
Right? So, because we're a quarter of the way through the year, so I should be a quarter of the year of the way through my goal. Obviously, this is perfect proof that reading is not super consistent. Mm-hmm. Like, I could have another month where I read more than I'm supposed to and I'll catch up. Yeah. So I'm not feeling very behind.
I think, like, it'll be more telling when we're at the halfway point of the year. Like, if you're still at that point, you're more... like, oh, I've only read 30. Then you're going to be getting further and further away from the right spot.
Yeah, exactly. I think that the data, like, we're literally only in the first quarter of the year.
Yeah.
So the data is the weakest that it will be. It will flesh out a lot more as it goes. But overall, I'm feeling good about the goal. Like,
yeah,
I don't feel massively behind. I don't feel like the way to catch up is very difficult because I'm not that much behind.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling also like... really motivated by what happened in March where I read so much. I'm like, just have to do that
just
again.
Keep doing it, yeah.
Just keep doing that and we'll be totally fine.
Do you know what your technique has been to, like, read that much? Because it's such a jump from what you normally read.
Great. That's a really good question because I didn't think to look at that. Let's see. I read 7 Empty Houses. That was short stories. And Homesick for Another World. That was short stories. And... okay, so there was 2 short story collections. Those I listened to on audiobook, which was very helpful. There was a couple of graphic novels, manga stories, and Girl Juice. And manga stories was the Haruki Murakami one. So that was quick. And then the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, for example, that was like a really quick classic that I had to read for that book club. Right. So that kind of forced me to read it. So I guess I'm not seeing anything other than a little bit of an introduction of audiobooks.
I was going to say, that was my kind of thing. I looked back for mine as well. And last year when I had read 17 books at this point, only 3 of them were on audio, which surprised me. But I think I definitely picked that up more throughout the year. Whereas this year, I would say 0 audiobooks, although I did listen to a little bit of Eat a Peach on audio, but only a little. Like, I only listened to maybe a couple of hours, so I don't really count it. But last year, yeah, I had definitely read 3 full books on audio. So that is part of my kind of reflection as well. Like, I'm not doing audiobooks as much this year.
Yeah. One other thing that I will say, like, another reason I'm feeling like a lot more, most of my reading lies before me, is because last year we tracked seasons.
That's true.
Spring was my smallest season. I read the least books in spring. Summer and fall were my biggest seasons that I read. Summer was the number one, and then fall and winter are tied. So currently we're in winter, and we just transitioned to spring, and I'm like, summer last year was the one when I read the most, and I suspect that will be the case this year as well, because in the summer I can sit outside.
I know,
and I can
best.
Like, that to me is like the peak living, sitting outside and reading, and like, I'm really looking forward to that. So I suspect that this year summer will also be
mine is similar boost. Summer is my biggest. Winter is my next one, actually, because I do like to read a lot in, like, December. Like, that's usually my reading time. But this year, like, winter was January and February as well, so that's what I have. A little chunk of winter reading, but we'll see how spring goes. Spring was also my smallest one last year.
Yeah. What the hell happened last spring?
Why don't we like to read in the spring? But we did also read our favorite books last year in the spring, because I remember it was May when you read The Blue Castle and I read Know My Name. So maybe we'll read one great book and that makes up for all of it.
It's true. Last year in spring, I read A Psalm for the Wild Built, True Grit, and The Blue Castle.
Spring
and I only
is
read
our time.
4 books. I only read 4 books last spring. The 4th one was Genderqueer, which was good. Wasn't a new favorite.
Oh, that's funny.
So spring was insanely good for reading last year. Hopefully Yeah, hopefully that happens again, because I'd love to read a couple of books in a row, or basically in a row, that are like heavy hitters, like, oh my god, that was so good. Oh my, yeah. I'm definitely missing that feeling right now.
Yeah, so that's where we need to get to, I think. That's what we're missing, that's what we want.
That's important. That's an important fact, because maybe we're not doing a good enough job of picking the books that we're reading.
I feel like I do kind of have, like, I have been suffering from that a little bit. I feel like I've been reading almost books, like, when I'm not in the mood for them, which is not a fun feeling. And, like, I have a book that I need to read for my book club with my friends. Luckily, it's very chill. So, like, if we don't read it for 3 months or whatever, it's fine. I just feel bad because my friends have already read it. And so I'm the only one holding it up at this point. And I'm just like, oh, but I'm not in the mood for it. Like, I just read a space book. I don't want to read another sci-fi book yet. So I'm trying to, like, bridge the gap and read maybe something else in between that I can jump into. Yeah. But that is what makes it tough, where it's like, oh, but I don't want to read that. And then that makes you not happy to read the book. You know?
Yeah.
It sucks being a moody reader, but we'll see. Hopefully it'll change.
We're really bad at TBRs.
We are really, really bad at that. I need to just fly by the seat of my pants. I can't be told what to do.
I gotta be free, man.
Yeah, be free.
Fascinating. All right, well, yeah. Oh, one other thing that one fun other little statistic I wanted to quickly mention was rereads.
Oh, yeah.
Last year, I did not reread a single book.
The whole year? Oh, yeah. That was a crazy fact for you.
It was a crazy fact for me because I love a reread.
Yeah.
But last year I was like, wow, maybe the year the reread is done, like, or the life of rereading is over. I don't reread books anymore.
I mean, actually, mine is similar. Last year, the only books I reread were graphic novels and comics. Like, I reread Saga. I reread the first Heartstopper because I read the whole series that year. And then I also reread Nimona, but that's it. So I also have not been in a rereading mood. And this year so far, the only reread I've been doing is The Island of Dr. Moreau.
Okay. So we'll see if that changes. That's very interesting because mine is the opposite. I have reread...
A lot, actually.
Yeah, a lot. So 1, 2, 3... Well, actually, my chart will tell me 5. I have reread 5 books. So it's 31% of my reading.
That's huge.
Has been... Is that right? 31 out of... I think I highlighted everything, but 30-ish percent of my, a third of my reading is rereads right now, which is really interesting. And, like, I have given most of those rereads 5 stars, so I've enjoyed them a lot, and I think they're really good books. But because they're a reread, they don't pack the same punch as reading a brand new amazing book.
So do you want to change that? Well, are you going to keep rereading, or are you going to keep reading new stuff now?
It's interesting because I do wonder, to your question that you asked me a few minutes ago, like, what's a strategy you've been doing that's helping you read more? Probably actually the rereading has been a part of it, because it's so easy to reread a book. Yeah. You already know what's coming.
And you know
already
you love
the tone and everything.
Like, you've been picking favorites.
And you already know you love it. So you kind of fly through it a bit faster. So I think actually I will keep doing it because I find them so easy to do. Maybe that has been part of my strategy. I really want to reread Tiny Beautiful Things. Like, I'm craving that one. And I know I'm going to reread Anne of Green Gables soon because I'm doing that whole trip to PEI and everything. Yeah, so there's a couple that I'm looking forward to for sure. Fascinating.
Very good.
My final thing I'll say is I still have given up on books throughout the year.
Oh.
So there have been books that I've started and I just drop off. I was curious if that would stop happening this year because I want to read 100 books, so I shouldn't give up on any books. But that has I don't think you should change
the way you read, because I think if you get to a point where you naturally want to put a book down, forcing yourself to finish it is how you end up being who I was last year, which is just like blasting through audiobooks just to finish books, just to get that number. And that's not who you want to be.
Right.
It's not a good life.
No. And I don't think I can change. I don't think I can change that. Like, the way that I read it, of like just randomly being like, I'm done with that book. I forgot about it. I forgot I was reading it and just moving on. It's just going to keep happening. The one that comes to mind is what I talk about when I talk about running. I started that book.
It's funny how, like, I forget that you were reading that, and that's okay.
Where'd that go?
I don't think about those things anymore.
There was another one and I'm forgetting it now, but I will track it down because I do want to keep a list of those books. I like at the end of the year looking at that.
It is funny when you have a list of 20 books, like, oops.
So there you go. I guess that's our quarterly update. Now we're going to shift and give you a little bit of a quick reading update for this past week. All right, Raylene, I will start us off because I just have one quick thing to say. I finally finished Homesick for Another World by Otessa Moshfegh. Odessa Marshfegh is the author of 6 books, and Homesick for Another World is her only published short story collection. The book was published in 2017 by Penguin Press. Eileen, her first novel, was shortlisted for the National Book Critics Circle Award, the Man Booker Prize, and it won the Penn Hemingway Award for debut fiction. I'm extremely glad to be done this.
I'm glad you've done it too.
A lot of reasons. One reason is, like, I've now officially read everything Odessa Marshfegh's ever written. This was my one little lingering thing. I'm also glad to finish it because I just didn't like it at all. And I'm just so glad to be done, and I can put it on the shelf and walk away. Like, I started Odessa. I started Odessa Marshfegh with my Year of Rest and Relaxation, and I loved that book. Mm-hmm. Everything else that I've read from her has been like a bit of a letdown for me. Yeah. I'm just like, more of the same, violent, grotesque, perverse. There's just a deep element of disgust.
Yes,
that if it doesn't serve a purpose, I don't understand putting it there. Hmm. And I wasn't enjoying that in her novels. And this was just faster versions of that. Yeah. Like a lot of gross stories with gross settings and gross characters and depravity. And I agree with you that the stories at the end were better than the stories at the beginning. Yeah,
there were a couple good ones at the end.
But at that point, I just didn't even care anymore. Mm-hmm. I was so worn down that I was like, not for me. Let's never talk of that book again.
I agree. It's funny because you, I'm glad you finally finished it, because I was just thinking back to when we were kind of buddy reading it, and it was definitely
like a year ago.
At least a year ago, over a year ago, because I was living in my apartment. So I know it has to have been at least before November of 2022, which is interesting. I'm just glad that you finished it. You got there.
Yeah.
You got there.
It's out of here.
Well, the book that I finished is Project Hail Mary by Andy Weir. Andy Weir began working as a computer programmer at the age of 15. He then began writing science fiction in his 20s and published his work online. The Martian began as a free serial story on his website, and he went on to self-publish it on Amazon before it was acquired by Crown Publishing Group and published traditionally. Project Hail Mary is his third published novel, and Ryan Gosling is slated to produce and star in the film adaptation. First of all, I just want to say I'm glad I finished this book because it was a journey. I started it on March 1st when I was getting my hair dyed peach. So it is kind of putting a bookend on that whole story.
Yeah, gosh,
you chose this for me, and I'm still really glad that you did. It was definitely the right choice. I wouldn't say I ended up loving it, unfortunately. I definitely liked The Martian more, and there's a few reasons. I'm going to try and keep it brief because there's also not a lot I can say without spoiling the whole book. But essentially, this one is about a man who is alone in space at the beginning of the story. He doesn't know what his name is, why he's there, and he's all alone. So that is kind of the premise, which I love, because that's the thing I love about The Martian is like, okay, man is alone in space and has to figure things out all by himself.
Yes.
So that beginning part was really fun, just kind of like him trying to remember who he was and what's going on. And as those memories were coming back, it was very engaging and interesting. The problems I had with the book kind of started at like, as we got a little further in, because he does have like amnesia at the beginning of the book, there's all these moments where he's like, he'll be like, oh, I really can't remember what this is. Then all of a sudden he'll be sent back into a memory. And I feel like it was kind of jolting, jarring. It just like was going back and forth a lot in a way that didn't have a nice flow to it. It was very like jumpy. And I feel like I would be like just getting into the story that's happening now. And then all of a sudden we'd be back in the past just like to get a point across. So that's like, oh, well, now we can understand what's happening next because he remembered this one specific thing. And I just kind of, I didn't like it. I didn't like the way it was written. But at a point, there is a kind of new element that is introduced. And the new element was my favorite part about the book. I can't say too much because it would give so many things away, but the new element that's introduced was my favorite thing about the book. And I do think makes it worth reading because it's just great. But there is a lot of like large stretches where it's just like, okay, let's try and figure out this science problem. And then he fixes it. And then another problem comes up, and now he spends like, you know, 3 chapters trying to figure out that problem. So there is a lot of just kind of like troubleshooting and lots of science talk, which I liked in The Martian, but I felt like with this one, it was a little bit more drawn out, and I feel like it could have been tightened up a little bit. So with that kind of combined with the jumping around timelines that I wasn't a fan of, it ended up being just an okay book, but I feel like it'll make a really good movie. So that'll be cool. I think it'll be visually very interesting. And it did have some like very interesting things to say as well, about like life and stuff like that. So I would say I liked it okay, but I didn't love it, unfortunately.
That's fascinating. I haven't read The Martian, but I really want to.
You should. So, it's one of my favorites, actually. Like, I do stack it up there cool. as a book that I, like, think about a lot.
Yeah. Andy Weir is in such a tricky position, because when you publish a book that is so beloved and so, like, instantly classic, mm-hmm. and the movie is so successful, yes. how do you follow that up with, you want to do what people like? Do you want to start something new? That's really hard.
Well, exactly. And I'm at the point where I'm curious to see what he'll do next, because I feel like now he's done two books that are kind of, like, in that Martian zone, and then right. another book that... Artemis, which is set on the moon and is about a woman who's like a criminal. I'm like, I don't know. That one didn't really work for me either. And so now I'm like, is he going to do another book in space? Because that's obviously yeah. his niche. But is it at the point now where maybe do something else? I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel yet. Like, I'll probably still read his books. I just need to see what he's going to do next and kind of figure it out then.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, you also had a little haul, am I right?
Oh, yes, that's true. I do have a tiny little haul because I went to the thrift store. I've been going thrifting for clothes a lot recently because I'm like, you know what? It's time to start upping my game. But I also go look at the books every single time, of course. And so the first book that I found was This Is How You Lose the Time War by Amal El-Motar and Max Gladstone. So
I've had that book forever.
Yes, and this is a fictional book of letters. So I was thinking,
oh yeah,
it's basically letters between these two characters who are like on opposite sides of a war, and I don't know how they like get connected and how they start sending each other letters, but it's like a time sci-fi kind of wacky situation probably. But yeah, you've got these two characters who are just on complete opposite ends of something, and it's I think it'll be interesting to see like how they connect and what do they connect over, what are they talking about. So that one should be really interesting. And then the next one I found was Once Is Not Enough by Jacqueline Suzanne, which this looks so random, but this is the author who wrote Valley of the Dolls, which I haven't read, but cool. I saw the spine and I was like, wait, that looks just like Valley of the Dolls. What is that? And it turns out that she has written, I think, three books that are kind of in the same zone, including Valley of the Dolls. And I was like, you know what? Sometimes I just want some silly kind of trash to read. Is that funny? A lot of the book reviews I read for this were just like, this is really trashy, but I really like it. And I think that I need that sometimes. Like, I like fun trash as well. So The Valley of the Dolls is one of the books on my 24 and 24 TBR. So yeah, I'll hopefully be reading that sometime this year, but I'm excited to have this one too, because I'm curious.
Cool. Let's do a little mail room. Okay, I pulled a couple comments from YouTube land. Okay. We had that fun one from Robin Sloan's cousin, of course. But we also have this one from Haley Cantor says, because there was no early release this week, because we didn't have an early release on Patreon for 1 week, this week I ended up watching this, which I normally don't do on YouTube, and I loved it. The graphics are so freaking cute, I can't handle it. Also love the aesthetics of both of the rooms you're in. Very 70s vibes.
Amazing.
And I wanted to shout this one out because, you know, if you've never tried the video episode, maybe you would like it. And also because I like the compliment to the graphics. It's true. Our branding is so beautiful, done by the amazing Maddie VN. Every time someone compliments it, I'm like, that's Maddie. She's a genius. We got this comment from Julia. Hi, Julia here from Italy. I just wanted to give you an internet hug because I've been following you for years now and you always make me calm and laugh at the same time. Thank you.
That's so nice.
I love that. I love you, Julia.
Oh, we love
that. We're giving you a hug right back.
That's fantastic. And
then the last one that I pulled was from Betty Anderson. And this was because you hauled... Did you haul last night at the Telegraph Club?
I did, yes.
Okay, yeah. So they wrote, I'm almost willing to bet money that Raylene will DNF last night at the Telegraph
Interesting.
Club. I hope you prove me wrong and love it. I was so excited about it, but I ended up being so bored, and I tend to enjoy a book where not much happens, which I don't think Raylene does.
That is, it really depends on the book for me. Either it'll be perfect or I will hate it. Like, those are the two options.
So I saw that comment and I was like, okay, bet is on. I think that if you DNF it, that we should give Betty Anderson a certified reader pin.
Because that means Betty really understands me. Really understands.
Because that means Betty really understands. If she's wrong and you do end up You don't worry, Betty. You don't have to give us anything.
That feels like a... Yeah, that's funny. We'll punish you. No. Yeah. I feel like that is an interesting challenge that makes me want to try and read it sooner. But I'm like, I'm not in the mood for it. Don't push it. Don't do things you don't want to do.
Whenever it happens.
Whenever it happens. Yeah. Okay, fantastic.
That's fun. What about you?
I have a couple of good comments here, actually. This first one from Kira, who is one of our... one of our certified readers, in fact. She has this really great comment that fits into the episode we just did. So Kira says, so I listened to like 4 episodes this week because I had some catch up to do, and I'm kind of loving the switch between Ariel and Raylene this year and who's reading more. I know it was their personal choices and goals that led to this, but it is such a fun little revamp of the podcast because I feel like we're seeing such diverse reading tastes from Ariel and hearing thoughts on more books. Whereas with Raylene, we're now taking a few episodes to read a book. We're seeing more of her thoughts develop over time. It's super fun. So I thought that that was an interesting, like, kind of takeaway, which is true.
Yeah, that is really interesting.
I'm talking about the same book over a couple of weeks, so you kind of get my thoughts as they're happening, which I think is good because I'm very forgetful, and usually by the time I get to reviewing a book, I'm like, I don't remember what I thought.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
Yes.
Yeah, the comment that, like, I've changed what I'm reading. I'm looking at what I've read.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think it really hasn't changed very much at all. It's just more of it. Mm-hmm. Like, I've read some books about the internet, letter books, books about writing, translated Japanese fiction. Like, it is a lot of the exact same of what I usually read.
It's just more of it, so it is interesting. Yeah. This next comment is from Acorn Woman, and this one is very funny, and I think we need to, like, take this to heart. They say, I love the podcast episode titles, but I do miss the crazy ones like Raylene's microwave makes her reading electrified. And when I read that, I was like, wait, is that real? And I remember...
You don't remember that?
It is real. It's when I bought a microwave, and I guess I read a lot.
I think at that time you were not involved in titling the episodes.
Yeah, I think that's true.
I used to
you
be
just went rogue.
The one who titled everything, and I must have just, because I remember naming that one. That was some of my best.
It's true ones. Though. I do kind of understand where Acorn Woman is coming from. Maybe we should bring back some slightly unhinged titles because I do think it's
well.
Funny.
Okay, I loved what we did where I named one episode like we're not hauling books anymore, and then the next episode that came out was a Bites, and it was like, okay, we actually did buy a few books. Like,
Kira also commented on it. That was one of my kind of follow up comments. Kira was like, that was great comedic timing, is what she said. So, no, I agree. That was good. The last comment I have, I just thought it was funny. There's no visual for you guys to see, but I'll describe to you what I'm seeing. So this one comes from Jules, who a couple of weeks ago sent me a picture of. Basically, Lush, the store, had like a Shrek line of like bath bombs and things. And she sent it to me like, oh, hey, look at this. I know how much you love Shrek. I'm like a crazy Shrek person. And so she was like, maybe you should check this out. I don't even know if it's real. And now we've got a follow up here. Jules says, okay, I know I posted the Lush Shrek collab in here, but I've got to warn you about the Shrek swamp bomb. Apparently it has moss in it or something, and it leaves your tub looking like an actual swamp. And there's a photo of their bathtub, and it just looks like mud and sticks in the bathtub. And I thought that was so funny. So this is just a PSA. If anybody out there is wanting to try the Shrek bomb, don't. Or do. It does look like a swamp. So if that's what you're going for...
I think that's commitment to the bit.
Isn't that hilarious? Now I feel like I need to get a Shrek bomb because
I feel like it was
brought to me and I need to commit to it as well.
There's little bits of moss or
isn't
something.
It nasty,
that's
but so good.
Sick. I want that.
I know.
I
too.
Want that real bad. That's so cool. I'm kind of obsessed with that.
Right?
That's so funny. This reminds me, the other day I was told a Shrek fact.
Okay.
Which I don't like.
Oh.
So that Shrek came out in 2001.
Yeah.
Which is over 20 years ago.
Yes.
We were 6 when that or 7-ish when that came out. Depending on our birthdays, I guess, when that came out. Yeah. But we were 6 or 7 when that came out. So us watching Shrek at the time was at the same, we were like 20 years from the 80s.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So it's the equivalent of when we were children,
right?
Our parents talking about a movie that came out in 81, which felt like the John Hughes movies, the movies from the 80s felt so old to me. I was like, wow, we're watching an old movie.
Yeah.
That's what talking to kids now about Shrek is.
That's
like.
So
they're
funny.
Like, whoa, what is that old weird ogre swamp movie?
It's like Kyle and I were literally just talking about SpongeBob yesterday. I was like, how wild. Weird is it gonna be when we tell our grandkids about SpongeBob? Like, yeah, it's about this talking sponge. He lives in a pineapple and he's a fry cook. Like, what are we talking about? It's so weird.
It's a wild god. It was I can't believe Shrek. I was thinking about the early 2000s. Like, it was actually a golden age of sick movies. The original the Tobey Maguire yes. Spider movies, Pirates of the Caribbean, Lord of the Rings,
Charlie's
Shrek.
Angels. What up?
Yeah,
I love Charlie's Angels so much.
There was so much good content that came out in that early little.
It's true.
2000s
I missed
stretch.
Those days.
So cool. Well, we have come to the end of this episode. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us and watching this one. We are now going to go record our Patreon mini podcast, The Movie Tub, where we're talking about movies and shows that we've been watching. Mm-hmm. And if you want to check that out, it's on our Patreon, the number one way to support the pod. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
A little bonus note at the end of the episode. We are going to be taking next week off. I'll be seeing the eclipse. Raylene will be recording the audiobook we're releasing soon. And so we thought it best to take a week off. That means there won't be an episode coming out on the 15th, but we will be back to regular programming with an episode on the 22nd. Thank you guys, and we'll see you soon.